Father, I pray as we continue, we're looking at this series on grace. I pray, Father, that there would be freedom, there would be liberty, there would be a shaking off of things, that we would live in the freedom that you have promised for us, that you have offered us, that is there for us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we've heard this morning, that chains would be broken today. That things would be dropped, that mud would come off feet, and we'd be able to run this race in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. There's been some great words this morning. During the prayer time, Stan was telling a story, and I caught the end of it because they started. And so, and it was to do with a conductor and a train and so on. But the essence of the story was there was a whole lot of baggage that wasn't going with, and it needed to be left behind. And Nathan told a story about sometimes if you're in your work boots and you're walking through a lot of mud, eventually your feet are getting heavier and heavier. And that's often how we live our lives, is that there's so many things, the cares and the worries of the world, and they start to weigh us down, and we can't run this race freely. And there's a breaking off that comes when we understand who God is. We understand what He's about, and that there's things that we don't need to carry. There's things that we can throw off. And so I wanted to continue with the series on grace. One of the interesting things, we're not recording this service, we record the second one. But I can't see the clock anymore because there's a camera there, which is quite interesting. Just the height is perfect. So I'm going to, so that we let the second lot in. All right, let's do that. All right, so grace is something we like to talk about, something we do understand. We think we understand it. We try to understand it, and there's this juxtaposing of grace and the law, and we can't just go with greasy grace, and we can't, somewhere in between. There's this place that God takes us in where He is just, where He has given us guidelines. There are banks to the river, but there's a freedom within that is so liberating for us. We understand that it's through grace that we are saved, not through anything we've done. There's nothing that we've done. But for many Christians, that's where grace ends. It's like, I've been saved by grace. That's it. Now I've got to find my own way and hope God's in a good mood, you know. But I believe that when we live in the grace of God, I believe that there's a creative flow that comes out of us. There's a creativity that we're not restricted in what we do. We find that we are free to explore the gifts that we've been given. That the amount of joy in our life suddenly starts to increase. So often we have this picture of a church building with the steeple, and they've all got their suits on, and they're all frowning, and it's hard being a Christian. It's so difficult because there's all these rules, and we just want to do things right, and we don't do this, and we don't curse, and we don't dance, and we don't drink or smoke, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, and we don't do that, and we don't do that, and we don't. And I hope you haven't grown up in that, but if you have, it's one of the things that needs to be broken off. And all of those things. But if that's the backbone of our relationship with Jesus, we have misunderstood grace. Our backbone is freedom. Our backbone is the story of the prodigal son. It's a story of acceptance. And the last time we had a look at unlimited grace, that God is so much better than we think. And we drew some pictures there. Sometimes our view of God has been filtered through our upbringing. It's not necessarily sinful. It's just restricting, and it's unhelpful as far as grace is concerned. And so, I want to just continue with that a little bit today. We want to speak a little bit about the gospel. We want to speak about what is this relationship with God really about? What is it like? And you see, a big obstacle that keeps people from coming to God is this message of judgment. Now, we understand that the word of God, the wages of sin is death, and that's where the story ends. No, that's not where the story ends. There's a but there, in capital letters. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, the wages of sin is death. And yes, people need to know that they need to be saved from something, because most people don't have a poor opinion of themselves. I'm a good person. I give to charity. I do this. I volunteer at the Lions Club. I do. Well, I'm a relatively good. I get that. But that our Savior comes and that He saves us and that He brings us into a right relationship with our Father in heaven. The wages of sin is death, but we need to tell the full story. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then what happens is that it gets carried over, because I'm speaking primarily to Christians, is that it gets carried over into our walk with God. And we get stuck on the wages of sin is death. And it's all about keeping the rules. You see, the second half of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's abundant life. It's a free life. It's a full life. It's an exuberant life, a creative life, a life full of joy. And we miss out on that. One of the most classic sayings is that as Christians, sometimes we look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. And that's true. Sometimes we do. It's just so hard. It says that it's the devil that brings persecution and affliction. But if we have a mindset just continually through this filter of the first half of a verse, we assume that God is the source of our problems. And therefore we never go to Him. Well, if God was God, then He wouldn't allow me to go through this difficult time. And right, I want to manipulate Him to suit us and our desires and what we perceive to be a full life. See, when we have negative thoughts about God, they cause us to run away from God instead of running to Him. And I believe that many Christians need to come to their senses. Need to come to our senses like the prodigal son. It says that he was there and he wanted to eat of the food that the pigs were eating. He senses, he remembered his father. And I'm trusting this morning that if you're in that place, that you will come to your senses. That there will be an aha moment where the light bulb goes on. He said, I have a Father in heaven. He's not who I thought He was, or how He's been presented, or how I've filtered Him through my experiences. No, He's a God who is loving, who's compassionate, who's waiting for me. He wants to give me a hope and a future. Realize that He's good, that He's loving. You see, the gospel message is about bringing mankind back to God. Forgive me for using the word mankind. I don't think people kind is a real word, but we just... That's just what it is. And so, it's about bringing man back to God. It's about restoring that which was lost in the Garden of Eden. There was life, strength, happiness, contentment, healing, deliverance, safety, freedom, restoration, all of those things. That's what the gospel message, it's the good news. The good news is the gospel. It's not, now I've heard the gospel, now I'm afraid. Well, now I've heard the gospel and now my eyebrows are down all the time, because this is very serious stuff. And it is. And we're dealing with a God that is eternal, that is absolutely perfect, that is holy. That He said, here is the garden. He says, everything in it is for you. But I want to give you this one guideline. And God restores that. And He says, man, I'll bring you into this life that is so full. Romans 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For the salvation of everyone who believes. It saves people. See, the gospel is the power of God for the revival of man. It's the power of God for the revival of man. And sometimes we just need to have a look at where the emphasis is placed in Scripture. You see, it's God's message. It's not our message. It's the power of God. It's His message. It's His gospel. He's the one that came up with it. He says, I have some good, not ours. It's a message of great love, of mercy, of sacrifice. It's a message that offers the greatest hope. There's no replacement for the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God. It's His power. And we can't replace that. We can't say, well, I found another way. I think I'd rather do it this way here. No, no, God has given us because it's from Him. That God is an approachable Father. He's not an angry God who hurts people. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world." That's how it starts. It says, "For God so loved." But He didn't just love, He did something about it. In other words, it's not just a theory. It's just saying, well, God is love, so therefore He loved. He couldn't help Himself. Because I love these people so much, I am going to give them a way back to Me. They have dropped the ball. They have taken their inheritance and they've run away and they are living with the pigs. But there's good news. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a way back for them. It's His message. It's the way He said. You see, Jesus reflected God's character. That's why people went to Him. It's an amazing thing. You want to say, what is God like? That's what God is like when He's expressed through a human being. Because Jesus was fully man and fully God. And so He represented God to us as we are to be. And people went to Him. Roman soldiers went to Him. The enemy went to Him. Children went to Him. The disciples said, leave the master on. He says, no, 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 let them come to Me. It's fine. I'm just going to bless them. I want to love them. Sit on My lap. Their dirty feet, their grubby little hands, sit on My lap. That's what God's like, represented in Jesus. People went to Him. Even when we present hell, which is the consequence of our own sin, we still present a perfectly just God. A perfect God. We don't shy away from people about this secret side of God. Then, you know, maybe, you know, it's going to put them off. No, no, we need to be honest and truthful about who God is. The wages of sin is death. We don't just move to the second half of the verse and say, well, you know, it's all about the gift of God. Just come as you are and stay as you are. No, no, that's not what He says. Come as you are and I will transform you. I will change you. I'll make you a new person. The old will be gone. The new will come. Be holy as I am holy. Sometimes we look at sinners and we think, man, it's easier to be a sinner than to be a Christian. Isn't it true? The psalmist said that as well. He says, I'll consider these persons. They live as if they have no cares or worries in the world. And then he says, until I considered their final destiny. I want to say that those people that are far away from God can do whatever they like. But something missing. Last week when we heard Chris speak about that, is saying that there's this searching, there's this hunger, there's this perpetual running after things to somehow make us fulfilled, to somehow give us joy. But God is the one who does that. Man needs God. He's always searching. See, people cannot keep away from issues of faith and of ethics. There's always this talk, my truth, your truth. Some people react differently to that, from whether you become a philosopher or a drunkard. The reality is that it pushes up somewhere because there's a search for truth. You'll find people seeking pleasure in movies. Becomes this obsession. I just need to get to the next movie. And then when the credits roll down, it's like there's this, that was great. And then a day later, I need to see another movie. I need, or the next drink or whatever it might be. I'm not saying don't watch movies. Okay. That's not what I'm saying. Some of you would be very upset by that. Some of you might even leave the church if I said don't watch movies. So, that was just a joke. So, there's this perpetual searching for the truth. And I believe that there's no true satisfaction until we find Christ. The true man, the spirit man, cannot be satisfied by the five senses we have, these physical senses that we have. And so often we try to push that, the limits of that, through pleasure, through pain, whatever it might be. Through what we see, what we hear, what we taste, there's a searching after food where people like Chris and Christina who like to eat all different types of food, and so do I like to experiment the the search. It starts to take over that which we are meant to do. And that is have our relationship with God. Only Jesus can lead man to the Father. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody can come to the Father except through him. Are never fully met. No one can experience revival, which means being brought back to life, restored to full strength, without the gospel. In John chapter 4, there's the account where Jesus meets the woman at the well. And she's a Samaritan woman, and he has a conversation with her. And he starts speaking to her and starts revealing truth about her own life. And they start speaking about water, and she's a little bit confused because she and half the village get saved, or many in the village get saved. And in verse 13 and 14, it says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And Jesus wasn't talking about physical water. That's what was the kind of confusing thing. He was talking about permanently satisfy. We'll thirst again, but if we drink of him, we will have satisfaction. Friends, so when we preach the gospel, when we present this good news, we present the truth of the consequence of sin, yes, but we also present that this thirst that we have, the thirst that mankind has, the perpetual running after things, will be satisfied. Because we think that he's angry with us. See, all over the world there's confused and misguided people trying to offer up sacrifices to appease an angry God. Whether it be old religion or new religion, it doesn't matter. Whether it be the God of something else or the God of myself. Sadly, many Christians speak as though God were their problem. I want to bring some correct. You see, if something goes wrong in our lives, somehow we try to blame God for that. Because we have a misguided understanding that living in a relationship with God will free us from this world and its worries and its cares. We're in the world, not of the world. We're not overwhelmed by the worries or the cares. But the reality is that we live thorns. There is still pain in childbirth. Ask my daughter. Anybody here who has children? The consequence of sin. There are things that happen to us that cause us pain. But somehow or other, the culture has convinced us that we deserve, which is a word that is bandied about very loosely, somehow we deserve a pain-free life. To drugs because they wanted to have a pain-free life. There's a minor ache here. Well, give some painkillers, some Tylenol, some. It's the answer to everything. And sometimes in our walk with God, it spills over, and this has got to be a pain-free walk. So if something goes wrong, it's because God is angry with me, and he's trying to teach me something through this pain. Or we say that if he really loved me, then he would keep me free from this thing that's happening to me. It's wrong thinking. It's a misunderstanding of who God is. You see, the father in the story of the prodigal, he allowed his son to go. He took all of that money. He lived in pain. Came back to the father. I think there might have been days where he was plowing with the oxen, and the oxen went offline, or they went through a fence, or he bumped his toe on a stone and so on, and he thought, this is terrible. I should have rather been eating with the pigs, because now I'm in pain again. So no, God allows us to come through. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to that they may have life and have it to the full, abundance. You see, we may believe indirectly that God comes to kill and to steal and destroy. And if we believe that God is the source of our pain, then we're not going to like him very much. Then there's going to be a problem with this gospel, this good news. Pain and discomfort is part of life. God does not bring it upon us just because he wants to teach us something. Sometimes he takes a poor situation and he teaches us out of that situation, even ones that we create ourselves. And then what it does is then it leads us to a life of trying to appease God the whole time. It leads us into a place of not trusting him, having no expectations. You see, Psalm 34 verse 8 to 9 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing." Psalm 145 verse 5 to 9. "They will speak of your glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." See, gracious means to be kind, to be indulgent, and beneficent to inferiors, to be merciful. And God is merciful to us. There are times that we doubt him. There are times that we run away from him. But he is gracious. He is compassionate. Inclined to help or to show mercy. Inclined to help or to show mercy. God shows us mercy. He shows us grace. He's inclined to be helpful. And that doesn't sound like an angry God to me. So, when we go through difficult times, when there are challenging moments, when our life does carry a level of pain, I want to bring the correction is that be careful that we don't say this is God's fault. This is God's doing. He's caused this. If he loved me, if he really loved me, then God is love. God does love us. He does care for us. And sometimes life happens, but God takes us through. He helps us through. He doesn't promise us a pain-free life. And I think sometimes what happens is that a theology is built upon an arbitrary Old Testament verse where an entire doctrine around living a pain-free life is built on a prayer that was prayed in the Old Testament, a singular, "Lord, make my life free from pain." And we build a theology around that instead of what we see. 11 of the 12 disciples, that's right, including Matthias, the replacement for Judas, were martyred for their faith. In other words, they died for their faith. And John was martyred for his faith. He died of age, but he was imprisoned, he was boiled, he was tortured. And so sometimes stuff happens to us and God takes us through. Let our understanding of God be one that is true according to scripture. Let our understanding be one of God that is kind, that is gracious, that is compassionate. That even when we go through difficult times, he will help us. Then what happens? It starts to, where people say, if God is so loving and gracious, why is there so much pain in the world? And we can start to have an understanding and say, but I know God. I know this God who you are saying causes all of these things. And he's not like that. It does happen. Without a doubt, it does. But the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Friends, this is the salvation. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And as we start to understand God more, we start to understand that we need to put aside the mud that's attached to our feet, the baggage that we can't take with us, the things that hold us back. Then we start to understand that actually this is the life that God wants for me. This is the gracious and compassionate God. Father, I pray, as we get challenged sometimes, Lord, just in our moments of weakness, Lord, where we have moments of doubt, Lord, I pray that we would not stay in that place. I pray, Lord God, that we would come back again to the truth of your word, and that heart adjustment would be made in the light of your truth, not in the light of our circumstances. Loving, that you are compassionate, that the gospel is good news. I pray, Lord, as we live it ourselves, as we present it to others, this gospel, this good news, Lord God, Lord, that we would do it in a right way. We do it in a biblical way, in a godly way, one that honors you, one that brings you as you are to others, Lord God, not through perhaps our filters of experience or preference, Lord, or some theology of, but Lord, that you have come to bring us freedom, to bring us liberty in all seasons of life, no matter what those are. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for this grace. Thank you for being compassionate and loving and patient with us. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.